All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. It is January the 25th, 2022. Beautiful day here on the Delmarva. A little gray, a little hazy, but temperature is nice, and I think it's around 39 or 40 degrees. We've kind of been going through a cold spell a bit, so 39 feels pretty good. So hope everyone is doing well. We are almost a month into the new year, and I shared previously several times about just different things going on, I had that tooth issue, we fixed all that, and just my work issues, I fixed all that, I suppose. My son the other day asked me on New Year's asked me if I had any New Year's resolutions, and I said I didn't. But, 25 days later, I think about it, and I realize that really the one resolution that I do have, the one improvement or one thing that I do want to focus on this year is just managing myself a little bit better. My tooth became an issue because I didn't manage that very well. I procrastinated and put it off because of money and pain, I suppose. And in the end, I spent the money and I had the more pain than I would have liked. So clearly, me managing that poorly turned out to be worse for me than if I'd have just managed it a little better early on. And honestly, excuse me, my teeth, I have been trying to manage them. I actually, my teeth aren't bad. I just, I think like everybody, we just have a few little things that we put off. And so, this isn't going to be about my teeth today, but that was one of them. And then, managing how I work, was also another thing because, I haven't been doing a very good job of that. I have certain days that I take off. I have days for podcasts and I have days for working. And starting this year, I'm going to try to be better. My wife and I both confess to each other that we are people pleasers. And I will please people so that people like me. Because I'm afraid that if I say no, that means they won't like me. And of course, I don't really think that, but I guess it's kind of ingrained in me. So I tend to say yes to a lot of things that I, probably shouldn't. And in the end, it bites me in the ass. And that kind of came all together at the end of in December when I just couldn't take it. And I think that also part of that dental issue. So I'm just trying to be a little bit better this year. And so far, so good. I have been doing actually very well with it. And I haven't lost any friends over it. But I see, all these opportunities for me to get myself into a jam. And just in the first 25 days of this year, I've had several people try to get me to work on my days off. And I've said no. Right? I've just said, I can't. I mean, I haven't been like, rude or mean about it, but I've said, no, listen, I've got other things I have to do today. I can't do it, and I apologize. And they're fine with it. That's usually the case. I'm a person that wants what I want, right? When I want something, I want it. But I don't hold grudges or resentments towards people that don't give me what I want right away. I usually, in my mind, maybe have a little moment, and then I step into line with the rest of the people, and I wait my turn. And I'm finding that most people are like that. So just trying to manage my time a little better has been really, really great. Yesterday I was off, and I literally did nothing. I went, what did I do? I actually came by here. I'm actually also trying to stay away from the shop when I'm off. Sometimes I'll come down here and do podcasting or clean things. And then I feel like I've been here down at my salon like all week. And that starts to wear on me. So the days that I'm off, I'm trying to really stay away. And, people probably do this all the time. I don't know why I haven't been better about it. But I'm trying to be. So yesterday, I basically didn't do shit. I had to go to the bank, and I had to take some paperwork over to a buddy of mine's company, and that was it. I pretty much sat around all day yesterday, and granted, it was cold. You know, if it was in the summer or spring, I would have definitely gone for a bike ride. I did try to go for a run yesterday morning. We did get some snow. In the area that I like to run, the Junction Breakwater Trail, I took off running on Monday and yesterday, and got down to the trail. It was all snow and ice. So I just turned around and came back. But, you know, that was just enough. Felt good. Good way to start the morning. A brisk, cool run in the dark. So it was great. But, yeah, and the other thing that I'm trying to manage better is me going to meetings. Meetings saved my life. And, you know, once you get into the habit, or once I've gotten into the habit of not drinking and kind of living that life, that habit, you know, meetings start to feel like they are less important. Or my life just gets so good that I don't have time for the meetings. So 2022 is back to meetings. Now, granted, we've had COVID, we've had the pandemic, you know, a lot of things have been shut down, a lot of great reasons for me not to go to meetings, but, you know, things are starting to open up. I mean, there's clearly meetings that are opening up, and so I'm trying to get back into it. And one of the two things that I've done is I've found two great meetings that I like at a great time. And I've put my foot down with my family that I will be attending these meetings regardless, whether they like it or not, because I have got to find some sanity. The last couple years have been, I don't want to say they've been rough, because they haven't really been rough, but I've wasted a lot of time spending time up in my head. And meetings help me with that. Meetings try to keep me centered. And, you know, they have a lot of magical powers to them. It's kind of strange. And it's all really, you know, that constant battle between self and humility. And, you know, meetings are, you know, an inconvenience, right? I cannot live a life that's completely convenient. I don't do well with it. I just get messy. I get sloppy. I get grumpy. I get entitled. I get arrogant. I get whatever it is that I get. It's just this, you know, list of shit. And I tend to live kind of a miserable existence when meetings aren't part of my life. So I've talked about, I've been trying to get to meetings for a while. Didn't really work out with my schedule. I have finally found a couple great meetings that I'm enjoying. It's a Monday night meeting, which I went to last night, and a Friday night meeting. Two meetings a week. And I've really jumped in, both feet, shaking hands. I took a commitment. I think I shared about that. You know, I'm making coffee. You know, I'm getting speakers. I'm finding people to come and share and you know, give us a topic for the meeting. I'm announcing it at meetings. This meeting needs support. You know, I'd walked into this meeting, and the guy that was kind of running it was just burned out. And that's how I get. You know, I get bothered, right? I get inconvenienced. And he was bothered and inconvenienced because not many people were showing up. He had kind of lost, you know, the night that I went, there was no coffee that was made. There was no literature that was put out. There was no agenda. The meeting had just kind of lost its way. And I get it. I absolutely get it. That's why, you know, we try to find commitments. We try to pass on the commitment because, you know, it does start to become a lot. We start to feel like we're the only one doing anything. So that night I said, hey, man, let me take this commitment. And I did. And I got a speaker last week, which was great. And in turn, somebody asked me to speak at a meeting, which I did last night. And it was awesome. So I went to the meeting last night. And I'd known a week, you know, a week ago, somebody asked me if I would speak. And so for the week, and I don't know if you're sober and you do attend meetings and you are at a point in your recovery where you would sit up front and you have agreed to and gone through that process, it's pretty stressful. You know, you get nervous. I remember early on going to meetings and my first sponsor was like, you know, But the good news is you don't have to say anything for the first year. And I was like, oh, that's great. Because I do not like to share. I don't like to speak. I definitely don't like to sit up front. And because, you know, you can't bullshit a bullshitter, right? And I'm so full of shit that early on, I knew it. And I think a lot of people would agree early on in sobriety, you just want to say something that saves the room, right? Something so profound that everybody goes, thank you. You know, that's what I needed to hear. That was the missing link that I had been looking for, or the missing, you know, phrase or thought. And now that you've said it, Tom, I'm saved. And that doesn't happen, right? There isn't, you know, I love going to meetings and I love sitting and listening to a person share their story. Usually it's how it was, what happened, and how it is today. Those are, if somebody ever asks you to share at a meeting, you know, that's a great sort of lineup, right? That's a great guide as a topic. What happened? No, how it was, what happened, and how it's like today. And that's exactly what I shared last night, you know. And of course, you have a layout of what you think you're going to say, and of course, as soon as you start talking, it ends up on a whole different thing. And that kind of sort of happened last night, but it was fine. You know, one thing I've learned about meetings and sharing is that nobody cares, right? I mean, it's for the hour. You know, most people aren't spending the next day thinking about what you said. It's really about sitting up front, pushing through your fear, pushing through the anxiety, having faith that it will be fine, and doing it, and then being done with it. And that's exactly what I did last night. And it was awesome. And I was so grateful that I was able to do it, because, you know, I've been in a place in my life where I didn't do that kind of stuff. And I would talk myself out of stuff like that, or I wouldn't show up. And it's a bummer. You know, you don't want to be a person that lives that life. It was me that I left behind, and I am never going to go back to wasting my life like I used to. And, you know, part of me, I was thinking about this last night, you know, there's a part of my life, my early part of my life where, you know, I was trying to figure it out. You know, it did include alcohol and it did include drugs, but it was also just trying to figure out life, right? You know, you can't be perfect. That's the whole point, right? I always compare my life to like an avocado. There's a big portion of an avocado's life that it's really nothing more than a freaking paperweight. But there's a small kind of window in the avocado's life that's, you know, edible and delicious. And then once it goes past that, it becomes a little spoiled and kind of rotten. And so it's that small window. And that's kind of where I'm at in my life today. You know, I'm in my 50s. You know, I've gone through hopefully the worst parts. And now I've, you know, I work and I have a family. And this is the time in my life where I really use or try to use what I've learned to make my life as smooth as possible. And, you know, it's a life that I don't want to waste. And so that's why I'm back at meetings. And the meeting last night was awesome. It was great to see a lot of people. Had a little, it's still weird because of masks. But, you know, I said this in the meeting, you know, I've always believed that meetings should kind of suck. Church should kind of suck. Everything that's really important should kind of be, and maybe suck is kind of a strange word to use, but inconvenient, a pain in the ass. You know, because, and I said this last night, listen, what I was doing before I came to this meeting was better. I really would have rather stayed at home. We had my dad over last night for dinner. He hadn't been over for a while just because everybody's been kind of sick and, you know, the mysteries of it all, right? And he's older, so he finally came over last night. And we were watching TV, and I'm hanging out with my wife and kids and my dad. And I had to leave all that, and I had to go to a meeting, right? And I've said, you know, in the past, if meetings are better than what you were doing at home, it's probably more of a social event. It's probably more self-serving, right? And I also said last night, listen, I also get it. You know, early on in my recovery, when I first got sober, when I had, you know, that first year, right, I had no life. AA became my life, you know. My sponsor kind of became my father, so to speak. He kind of was that example to me. And he wasn't perfect. And it was funny, I shared about my first sponsor last night in the meeting, Ron M., and a lady came up to me after the meeting and was like, you know, I know Ron. He's in Florida. He's down in Florida now. And I was like, Ron is nice, because I'd kind of lost touch with him. I know that he, you know, was doing his thing, and I guess he ended up down in Florida. But she was like, I know Ron M. And I said, well, listen, if you hear or see of him, let him know that I said hi. I don't even know if he would remember me. I'm sure he would remember me, but, you know, I'm sure you might have to dig deep a little bit. You know, self-centered Tom thinks, of course he remembers me. But the reality, humble Tom is like, he probably doesn't, because I was just a regular Joe, right? Just another bozo on the bus. But you know, early on in that recovery, man, that became kind of my family. That became, you know, I didn't have a lot of real decent conversations, especially about recovery or getting better, with anybody other than the people that I would see at the meetings. And, you know, I would hit a meeting every night, and I looked forward to it. It was absolutely better than what I was doing. But, you know, you do it for a while, you know, and you know, you go into a, you get some time, start getting a couple years, and I think that, you know, the danger zone is really that first 5 years, because you do start getting a life, and I started getting a life. I got a life better than I ever had imagined. You know, I had friends. I remember I started dating a girl who had a job, right? Who had like a career that required like going to college. That had never happened. All these things started to happen, but they're all self stuff, right? Better girl, better job, better car, look at me, yada yada. And that stuff's kind of exciting. It is, you know, that pink cloud kind of stuff, that early recovery, and life does seem better. And that's where you start kind of like, I'm having a lot of fun hanging out with my new girl, or, you know, benefiting from money that I'm getting from my new job. And all of a sudden, now, Ashley Howdberg. Jeez, my phone. You know, and then, you know, life starts getting better, and then we start putting meetings and stuff on the back burner. And it happens all the time, and it's crazy. I Let me see here. So just when your life's getting better, meetings don't seem as important. And then next thing you know, you start getting that voice that says, hey, look how good you've done. Look how well you're doing. Maybe you should try having a drink. And if you don't have those meetings and there isn't that other voice that's saying, no, that's not going to work. You know better than that. Unfortunately, a lot of people start to struggle in those first few years. And so, yeah, maybe you don't even drink, but maybe you start getting that attitude, right? Maybe you start becoming bothered, you know, and they have a term. You start becoming a bit of a dry drunk, and that's an untreated alcoholic. And it's crazy. And I've gone through it. You know, I drank after 4 years and I went through it. And so today I've seen it all. And I know that meetings make my life better. And luckily, through this last couple of years, I am aware and I do, you know, I have a lot of people in the program that I can reach out to and have conversations. And sometimes I have conversations with people in the program and what comes out of my mouth, you know, is like, oh, did I just say that? And, you know, the person I'm talking with is like, yeah, you know, you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. It's usually if I'm inconvenienced. And, you know, life is pretty inconvenient. So, you know, you just keep working on it. So it was super awesome to go to that meeting. It was great to share. I was nervous and I had anxiety. And I kept telling myself, stop doing that. Stop trying to, you know, save the room. Stop trying to, you know, say something that's so profound that it's going to save everybody. Just get out of that. Stay in the moment. And I really worked on that all day yesterday because even though I've known about it for the week, yesterday it started to kind of to compress, right? And I'm like, just don't worry about it, Tom. Just sit up there and share. Get a topic and move on. You're going to be fine. You've done this hundreds of times. And that 5 minutes, you know, you get there. I think the meeting starts at 7. I got there about 9:45, chatted for a few minutes, and then sat at that table up front at the meeting for like 10 minutes and just kind of, you know, like being a kid, had this mad dash trying to figure out what I was going to say, you know, throwing away everything I thought I would say, trying to rewrite it in my head. And in the end, it's, you know, how it was, what happened, and how it is today. And I just had to keep reminding myself, and I had a great lead. It was, you know, it wasn't profound, but I don't think I sounded like a complete babbling idiot. And it was awesome. And afterward, you know, and I always say, if you want to figure out how the balance between self and humility is, volunteer to sit up front and do a meeting. Because automatically self shows up. What'd you do that for? You know, we don't have anything, you know, profound to say. Now we're going to have to write something, right? Self's like, all right, we got to look good in this one. Then we got to, you know, really polish ourselves up here. And, you know, I've seen people, I've gone to meetings that people have written, you know, written out a share, so to speak. I've seen people with cards, you know, and you're missing the point. You're missing the point. But honestly, I wouldn't go up to them and say, hey, you're missing the point. But I think that as we start to kind of work through it, you know, I think that's something for a sponsor to remind a sponsee of is like, hey, this isn't about you, me, us. It's about a topic. It's about being an example. Being an example of someone that can just sit up front and just share a topic. And I know that I don't sit in the crowd and judge people, you know. I know exactly what they're going through. It's kind of scary. You get very nervous. And but self's like, oh, I don't think we can do this. And so I went through it yesterday. I've completely sat by and watched self and humility kind of work it out. The devil and God, good and bad, good and evil, figuring it out. And evil's like, you know, we can't. You know, maybe you should share about something else. Maybe you should write down some notes. Maybe you should just don't do it. And humility is like, dude, just stay in the moment. This will all work out. You've done this 100 times. It's not the end of the world. All they need is a topic out of you. You don't have to recite the big book. And, you know, and I just kept saying that. And when that guy's like, all right, well, I'm going to introduce my speaker. And tonight Tom is here and he's going to share his strength and hope. And as soon as that happened, self's like, all right, I'll go wait over there. And humility showed up and we, you know, we worked through it. And you feel vulnerable and exposed, but you just go through it. And I tell you what, when it's over, you feel a mile high. You just feel like a huge weight has been lifted off your shoulders. You've worked through it, and it's a beautiful thing. I love it. All right, let's see. Yeah, so if you, you know, I don't know. If you're not going to meetings, go to meetings. I guess that's maybe my message really is that, you know, me, and then, you know, and then the 12 steps, having practiced all these principles and all your prayers, really my last job is to be there for the last alcoholic, for the next alcoholic, not the last, the next, you know, to have my hand out there and be ready for the next person that comes in that was me, you know, 20 years ago, freaked out and frightened, looking for an example of a person trying to do the next right thing. And, you know, it's awesome. All right, here we go. Let's do a daily reflections. I'm trying to be better about this. Today is January the 25th, 2022. What we need each other. What we need each other. All right. AA is really saying to every serious drinker, you are an AA member if you say so. Nobody can keep you out. 12 traditions, 12 steps, page 139. For years, whenever I reflected on Tradition 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking, I thought it valuable only to newcomers. It was their guarantee that no one could bar them from AA. Today, I feel enduring gratitude for the spiritual development the tradition has brought me. I don't seek out people, obviously different from myself. Tradition 3, concentrating on the one way I am similar to others, brought me to know and help every kind of alcoholic, just as they have helped me. Charlotte, the atheist, showed me higher standards of ethics and honor. Clay of another race taught me patience. Winslow, who is gay, led me by example into true compassion. Young Megan says that seeing me at meetings, sober 30 years, keeps her coming back. Tradition 3 ensures that we would get what we need, each other. And that's very true. Listen, I hope everybody has a great day. I appreciate you for letting me share, and catch you later. Bye.